WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Yes, we're still doing it AM 1570 each and every day. If you follow us out at BaltimorePositive.com, follow our podcast, the new website. We got a bunch of things happening out there and a long, long weekend to sit and watch football, to watch the World Series, college football, whatever you're into, and to get ready for a long week and a Monday night game against New Orleans next week. Luke Jones joins us now in the aftermath of, I called it a choppy victory. I don't know what else to say. I mean, impressive, sure. You go on the road, you win, you beat Tom Brady, you get the rest, but more impressive by how many players weren't on the field and how different the first and the second halves appeared and the way that they played the game offensively.
Yeah, I just think it was night and day. The first half, you're thinking, first of all, another terrible edition of Thursday Night Football, which tends to be the case more often than not. You get a decent game mix in there every now and then, but you see where the Ravens were then. You see where the injuries were at halftime going into the second half. And you're just wondering, how are they going to climb out of this? You know, are they going to continue to try to throw the football? Or are they going to adjust? The defense, which was very shaky in the first quarter, but it settled in and three and out. And Tampa Bay moved the ball. I think they had one first down on their last drive of the second quarter, but the defense was playing well. But then it's, you're thinking, okay, are they going to start wearing down because this offense can't sustain the drive? And you know, that's where you do credit the defense. It wasn't a perfect performance, and I'm sure they'd like to finish the game a little bit better than they did. But when you're in a position where your offense is clicking and you're scoring touchdowns, which the Ravens were coming out of halftime, you can afford to be less than perfect in the fourth quarter. So it really was one of those games where time will tell. You know, I think we always think back to the Seattle game in 2019, right? I think last year we were talking in similar terms at the time when Lamar had the big comeback against Indianapolis and he looked like Dan Marino in the fourth quarter. And you're always wondering, what does that mean? Well, that ended up being really the high watermark in what was kind of a lost season for Lamar Jackson because of the injuries and because of some of their struggles in the middle of the season. So time will tell, and you have to stay healthy, and we'll see what happens at the trade deadline. We'll see which guys come back from injury that are, you know, Dobbins, Marcus Williams, go down the list of guys that we do expect to see back, see what this pass rush looks like with Tyus Bowser and David Ajabo added to the mix. But Thursday night, the second half really felt like that could be a turning point in their season if they're able to go on a run after the bye and stay healthy and win this division and, you know, then see where the chips fall in terms of matching up against Buffalo or Kansas City. You know, I think the thing that we haven't necessarily talked about recently, we've alluded to it. That's very clear cut. Buffalo is the best team in the AFC. I think they're the best team in the NFL, with apologies to the Eagles, who are undefeated, but I think Buffalo is the best team in football. Kansas City is looking more and more like the second best team in the AFC. After that, I think it's wide open to say who's right behind them, who's going to potentially have an opportunity to challenge them. I think the Bengals, Jamar Chase injury notwithstanding, certainly have looked better. The Ravens, we've said it, you know, they've looked like one of the best teams in football the first 45 minutes of these early games. So it was nice to see them kind of flip that script where they started poorly and ended up finishing at a very high level. So it's sitting right there to make a run. And we've talked about how this schedule sets up in the second half of the season. They've got to be consistent. And, you know, it's not as though you just look at the second half of Thursday night and say, okay, all their issues are fixed. They need to stack that and they need to continue that, you know, what they did offensively, but it was encouraging and easily the best the offense has looked in a half of football since the first half of that Buffalo game, where they jumped out to a 20-3 lead. So it was encouraging to see. It was encouraging to see the defense. I get it. It's old, past his peak, Tom Brady, twilight, you know, even though we've been saying the twilight of his career for about a decade now. But, you know, the defense certainly got its stops in the second and third quarter. So, you know, it was a good win. And especially when you talk about it in the terms of Thursday night football and some of the guys that weren't out there as the night went on, you have to be really pleased about it if you're a Ravens fan waking up on Friday morning and getting ready to enjoy the entire weekend of stress-free football.
Well, I mean, at halftime, everybody's jumping off the purple bridge and, you know, third and 22nd, third and 36, 22 and third, 36. These down in distances and the problems they had, Lamar sort of getting cornered in the back while throwing the football, while being a pocket passer, right? The night and day of Greg Roman's offense in the first half and the second half and what they came out and wanted to do. That if you were on the airplane ride on the way down there in the pregame meetings on Wednesday night, the way they were going to win the game, it really did come back to them running the ball. Just as I wrote last week, that running the ball, running the ball, running the ball, it's what they do. Lamar threw the ball too much, you know, on Thursday night. For was it 37 passes by the end of the day, right? I mean, 27 of 38. They didn't need to do that. If they would have run the ball more in the first half, they wouldn't have been in third and 36. Maybe they could have kept the ball. And part of that also is the red zone. Running up and down the field, even throwing the ball up and down the field, they've gotten into the red zone and they've struggled. And that was that. That's a part of their story right now, especially in the losses.
Yeah. And I think it's very easy just to say, oh, well, you just come out running and you're going to run against them in the first half the way you did in the second half. Who knows? I saw merit in coming out and throwing the ball. Maybe not, you know, I'm not saying I would have thrown it 30 times in the first half, but certainly I saw merit in doing that. And part of me is a little, I don't know if disappointed is the right term, concerned is the right term. Would have liked to have seen them have a little more success against a very much a banged up Bucs secondary, but Mark Andrews is banged up. Rashad Bateman wasn't 100%. So, you know, you kind of can play that game both ways. But to your point, even if it didn't work out, you know, was there something to be said for wearing down those pass rushers that looked more formidable in the first half and did not look good stopping the run in the second half? There's some merit to the idea. I saw some fans alluding to it late Thursday night. I think people are just happy and caught up in the moment, but, you know, kind of talking about it being a rope-a-dope situation. Well, I don't think you're going to go out there and say, yeah, we're going to play it that way and only score 3 points. They clearly had designs that they were going to be more successful doing it, but it still did have the effect of, you know, playing a game, warm night in Tampa, you know, not 90 degrees, but it's Tampa, it's warm. And you've got big guys getting after the quarterback and, you know, trying to rush the passer 30 times in one half. Did that play a part in the running game being as effective as it was in the second half? Sure. Why not? I mean, I think that's a reasonable conclusion to draw there. So, you know, you have to see how it plays out and how it evolves. I'll continue to say they're going to have to throw the football at times at the very least, you know, this isn't a case where, I'll still say the formula they used against Cleveland's not working against good teams. What we saw in the second half against Tampa Bay, who is not looking like a good team right now, but I think that was something where very efficient throwing the ball, which wasn't really the case the week before, and more chunk runs. You know, what they did against Cleveland was they ran it effectively, but it wasn't special. You know, go look at the yards per carry. It was good, but it wasn't amazingly efficient. But what we saw in the second half, that's where you look at this thing and say, it reminded you much more of 2019. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. We'll see how teams adjust. I certainly don't expect to see the Ravens going out there and trying to throw the ball 30 times in one half, and nor does really anyone suggest they should do that. You know, for people that are talking about the passing game, that doesn't mean they want Lamar throwing it 60 times. There's a middle ground with all
they actually did it. You know what I mean? It was such a weirdly imbalanced game in that way. Yeah, it really was.
Well, and again, I mean, I've said all along, I've banged the table for another wide receiver for a long time. I've never said Lamar throw it 50 times. I've never said that. You might find yourself in a position at some point where you have to do that. The Indy game was a great example of that in the second half of that game last year. So I'd like to see you be able to do it if you're put in that position. And again, that's where I am disappointed that it looked as abysmal as it did. You know, at least give me one touchdown drive there. Hey, you could say what you want about throwing 30 times and then not looking pretty. If they put together one touchdown, game would have been tied at halftime. So at least you could have been able to hang your hat on that. But that aside, it's clear what this team does best. And it seems as though they're starting to find their identity in that way. And the offensive line is a big part of this. We mentioned Tyler Linderbaum in a previous segment, but Ronnie Stanley, how about the fact that he's coming back and
just the fact that he's out there, right? I mean, a month ago,
It's more than that. He looks like Ronnie Stanley. I'm not saying he looks like peak Ronnie Stanley necessarily, but he hasn't looked like a shell of himself. You know, this isn't a guy that looks like he's washed up or can't do it physically, and he's out there, but he's no longer a $20 million left tackle. He's played well. You know, again, not perfect, but he's played really well. And, you know, Pro Football Focus has graded him that way. So, you know, you have him back out on the field. You hope it stays that way. You hope that the ankles sound long-term. And again, that's something you're just not going to know until he plays, and he's playing multiple weeks in a row as he's starting to now. Linderbaum really playing at a high level, especially for a rookie. I mean, he's had his moments, and you can talk about the snap in the Giants game. He hasn't been perfect, but he's been pretty darn good. And then you throw in the fact that you have Kevin Zeitler at right guard. How about a guy who we haven't even mentioned since training camp? Ben Powers, for as much grief as he's gotten, and I think it's really just a victim of circumstance that they've invested so much trying to get that left guard spot right over the last few years. Didn't work out with Tyree Phillips, didn't work out with Ben Bredesen. Ben Cleveland's been a disappointment to this point. You know, Ben Powers has done a solid job there. I think he's played better than people would have expected. He has his plays where you look at it and say, yeah, it's not great, you know, but he's done a very serviceable job there. So, you know, you have Morgan Moses at right tackle, who I thought played well on Thursday night, at considering, you know, he's had some up and down performances of late and been dealing with some health issues himself. So you have an offensive line that, you know, really is coming together. And that was great to see. And even with the Ravens not having some of their best skill players out on the field in the second half, they got the job done. And the offensive line was a major reason why. And that's where that's a little more reminiscent of 2019. 20 and 21, their offensive line was not very good. They had individuals who played well, but for the most part, those units did not play well. And it really began with Marshall Yanda retired. Let's remind everyone of that and how much that impacted them in 2020. And then you lose Ronnie Stanley for the better part of 2 years. You know, talking about losing your two best linemen from that historic 14-2 team. Yeah, there's going to be some drop off most likely. So it seems as though they're getting back to a place where, you know, not that Kevin Zeitler is Yanda or not that Stanley is even the Stanley of 3 years ago just yet coming back from the injury, but you have a better situation at center. You've stabilized, you know, certain positions that were problematic over the last couple of years, and you're getting some high level play from a couple of those guys. That adds up to a pretty darn good offensive line, and they were able to really shine in the second half on Thursday.
Well, you mentioned high level play. The high level play when they're running the football, right? Like in that second half, and part of this, obviously, Tampa was tired, right? Yeah. There were lots of references to Kirk Herbstreit saying hands on hips. Fatigued, worn down. That's also, you know, a factor in all of this is that, are you getting stronger running the football later in the game, running downhill? And man, I remember going in those locker rooms, not that I'll do that ever again, back in 2019 and seeing that smile on Marshall Yanda's face after a game where they went out and just ran the ball. And there's something about offensive linemen that are wired that way, guys that went to Iowa, right? That should be their identity. I don't want to harp too much on what I wrote last week or just pat myself on the back and say I was right, but I was right in regard to them running the ball, that whatever that identity is and whatever the Lamar's got to pass his way to $250 million, I don't need to see gaudy stats from Lamar Jackson on the passing line for me to feel good about the football team, especially the way it's been constructed from the beginning, which is to look more like a Navy football operation than to look like, you know, the 82 Chargers. You know, I mean, that second half should be put into the Louvre to some degree against Tampa as to how you win a game. And that first half should be thrown into the inner harbor. Like literally throwing the football 30 times and a half, being in third and 36, running your punter out there. You might as well on third down at that point. That's not good football. They didn't play good football in the first half. Aside from the injuries, the short rest, all of that, I just didn't think it was very smart.
Well, of course. And, you know, it's not as though any team that has passed first it wants to be in third and 36 either. Let's be clear about that. So,
but you're going out there with a banged up Andrews with no bait. You've already got deficiencies in your passing game, you know?
Fair enough. Fair enough. I hear you. Again,
but you were saying, hey, their secondary's weak. Good, then run at them. See if they can tackle.
Okay.
You know?
I understand. And look, the running game is their strength. And you mentioned Navy. Navy doesn't win national championships, so that's where we kind of keep coming back to, will this work in January? And we don't know, because it's October and November, right?
Better make it work in October first.
Yeah, exactly. And that's fine. And that's where you look at Thursday night, in the same way that, as much as I wasn't enamored with how they beat Cleveland, they won. And when you're talking about this portion of the season where you're not even to Thanksgiving, you know, you're still a month away from Thanksgiving, they're fine. I think so much of the NFL, we do this all the time, not just in Baltimore. This happens everywhere. We react and we overreact. As much as we joke about it in week one and week two, right? Columns are written about overreactions in week one. We really do that every single week. It's just as the season goes on, we've got a bigger sample size to look off of, and you start to draw some conclusions. But this team's in good position, and that doesn't mean they're a great football team just yet. I don't think they're a great football team right now. I think they're, you know, I've said, you know, even going back to when they were losing games, I've said all along, I think they're pretty good at the very least. I think they're talented. I don't think it's a very strong NFL or AFC beyond the teams at the very top. I think there's a lot of mediocrity and / parity in the middle. And I think the Ravens kind of, you know, that second group, let's say, that second tier, let's say, for I think the Ravens are jockeying to be at the top of that second tier right now. Now, they got to stack some wins. You know, 5-3 is not, you know, exactly indicative of being a juggernaut, but it is indicative of being in pretty good position when you're talking about a league that doesn't have, you know, the Eagles are the exception. The Bills are the exception, right? I mean, you have all these teams that are kind of 3 or 4 losses right now that are kind of just sitting there right in the middle trying to figure it out. So, you know, the Ravens are figuring it out. And certainly the running game, which it was always going to be important to them. Again, people who talk about the passing game are not saying what the Ravens tried to do in the first half is what they should do. What they're saying is you want to see balance. And, you know, again, Lamar Jackson threw 2 touchdown passes in the second half. So it's not as though the pass wasn't important at all. So it really is a matter of finding that balance, finding that level of efficiency that they had in 2019, where I'll remind everyone, yeah, they ran the ball more than anyone, but Lamar Jackson threw more touchdown passes than anyone. So it was very complimentary in that way. So they've been chasing that. They've been trying to replicate that to varying degrees over the last couple of years, and injuries have been a big reason why they haven't been able to. And I think also just the sheer difficulty of duplicating that kind of offensive success. Teams pay attention. The other team tries too, and they make adjustments. And we've seen teams do a better job against Lamar Jackson at times. And then you have other teams who don't do as good of a job. So, you know, I think in the case of Tampa, and you mentioned it, you know, you made mention of being in the 2019 post-game locker rooms where Yanda and those offensive linemen were talking about running the ball and wearing teams down. Morgan Moses said it after Thursday night's game that, you know, and he's been around. This isn't his first rodeo, even though it's his first year with the Ravens, that you can see a look. You know, he said you can tell when the opposing defensive line is getting ready to tap out.
We can't stop this. We can't stop this.
You can just see they're tired. They've got a look in their eye. There's a resignation that we're in trouble. And you know, you can just tell that the Ravens, they recognize that in the second half. And again,
they have the ability to do that to a team running the ball. They have no ability to do that to a team passing the ball. None.
But
they dare Lamar to come out and pass against them because sometimes he's Aaron. Sometimes they can get a rush on him. Sometimes somebody drops the ball. Like,
their passing game hasn't been that bad this year. Let's the last couple weeks, yeah, it had gone in a bad direction, but Lamar threw what, 10 touchdown passes over the first 3
I'm
games.
I'm not picking on Lamar as a passer. Well, but, I think
just said they can't run. You just said they can't throw the football. That's not true either. They've got to find the.
In the first half, they didn't throw the football. Can they throw the football with a healthy Andrews and a healthy O line? Now they got Ronnie Stanley back and a complimentary running game and Gus Edwards in the backfield, and they start stacking the box because they can't stop it. And then you get one on ones and you get matchups you like, and you can find Isaiah like. Fine, that's great. Everything starts with the run, and they threw that away in the first half, and it didn't work. Listen, I'll praise them for their victory. I'll praise them for their two-game winning streak. I'll praise them for all of that. But that first half of Thursday night needs to be thrown into the harbor. And the notion that he's going to throw the ball 30 times and a half, because the other team's secondary stinks, our passing game stinks for the most part. You know how I know? I watched them play on Thursday night. They can't play that way. They can't win that way. And if they want to go play the Bills that way or the Chiefs that way on a 32-degree day in January, okay. But that's not their best chance of winning. Their best chance of winning are healthy running backs, a healthy Mark Andrews, and 25 passes a game, maybe 30 passes a game, run the football, run it again. If you get into fourth and three, punt it, but don't get yourself in third and 36. That for me, don't do that.
No one likes to get, you're making it sound like third and 36 is a premeditated strategy.
It happened after they were in third and 22. You know, I mean, it was a trend in the first half.
It was terrible. But again, at the same time, if what you're suggesting is that they just come out and do what they did in the second half and the first half, I'm not convinced that they're running the ball that effectively right off the bat. What they did in the first half, as unsuccessful as it was on the scoreboard, when you are having a team rush the passer 30 times, did that help them in the second half in some weird, warped way, in the sense that they weren't successful, but it still had a cumulative impact on Tampa Bay's defensive line?
On 4 days rest, I'll hear that all day.
Sure. Yes. Does that mean I think it was the right strategy either? No, no one is saying they want Lamar Jackson to throw it 50 times a game. No one is saying that. What people are saying is, if the Ravens find themselves in a position, as we saw last January with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes going toe to toe in an all-time epic kind of playoff battle, what people have said is, if the Ravens find themselves in that position, and again, Josh Allen doesn't throw it 60 times, although they don't run the ball a whole lot. For the most part, even these passing teams don't want their quarterback throwing it 60 times. The point is, if you find yourself in that position, can you play that kind of game? That's what people have said about the Ravens offense. Not that they want Lamar to just start throwing it, you know, and be a 5,200 yard passer a year. It's, if this team finds itself in that kind of position, and a defense has contained their running game, as Buffalo did in the playoffs a couple years ago against them, can you play that style where you do have to open it up and throw the football a little bit more? And that's going to continue to be a question. And, you know, ultimately, this team has been to the playoffs. This team's won the division. This team's been the number one seed 3 years ago. Ultimately, their legacy's going to be whatever happens in January, and that's fine. You know, Lamar Jackson be the first to tell you that. But as far as how they should try to play going into a game, yeah, of course they should. You know, the run should be a huge part of what they do. You know,
Harbaugh, apparently some players in the aftermath, and I wasn't in the locker room, said that this was part of the game plan, was to soften them up by throwing the ball. And look, if you thought you could go out there and throw against them because of their secondary, great. But when you're in third and 22 and you're in third and 36 and it's not working, at least it was a hell of a halftime adjustment. I mean, I said that about Roman. I tweeted that in the middle of the game, that it felt like it was a game of two halves. And in the way they strategized it, and I'll tip my cap to John Harbaugh and put him into Canton if that's the case. You know, we're going to go out there and stink in the first half. I think they thought they could throw the football, and they wanted that, and they couldn't, and they didn't.
And that's the part of it that is, you know, if I'm going to look at it through a more negative lens, that is where it is disappointing. That, okay, you identified that you wanted to do this and you couldn't do it at all. That's where it is a little disappointing. And you know, you do look at it and say, okay, what's going to happen if you have a team that isn't the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, let's face it, they were a wounded animal on Thursday night, and I thought they'd have a little more fight to them. I mean, as poorly as the Ravens played in the first half, it was 10-3. You know, I mean, that game felt like it was a blowout, right? But it wasn't, because, you know, Tom Brady looks old and he doesn't have the same offensive line, and his skill players aren't what they were a couple years ago. You know, he misses Gronk, or at least the idea of what Gronk was, you know, and that defense was banged up and they wore down, you know. And I'm with you, this idea that they were going to go out there and throw it that much and not have any success. Of course, that wasn't what they were trying to do. So let's not give them too much credit in that regard. I guess my point was, because they tried to do that at the very least, did that have a contributing factor to Tampa's front wearing down? Sure, probably, because you rush the passer that much. How many times have we said it about the Ravens pass rush when you're going up against Brady, you know, over the years, or going up against Mahomes or whoever? And yeah, you do get tired because you're trying to get after, pinning your ears back and trying to get after the quarterback play after play. So, but I'm with you. How they looked in the second half, that was as good as the offense has looked since going back to the New England game and the first half of the Buffalo game in week 4. And it looked like they found, you know, they're finding their identity, it appears. And, you know, again, the big picture takeaway that I hope, you know, what we see from this is hopefully you see a Lamar Jackson that's more confident in throwing to other receivers other than Mark Andrews. You know, we saw that tunnel vision early on, and we've seen that more in recent weeks. Mark Andrews is a special player. He's one of the two best tight ends in the NFL, along with Kelce in Kansas City. You know, I'm not sure anyone else is all that terribly close at this point, because George Kittle, who was in that tier, can't stay on the field. You know, the last couple of years he's had his injuries and whatnot. But that said, that doesn't mean you can just throw the ball to him every single play. We joke about that a lot, but you do need to be able to spread the ball around. So if the silver lining is Andrews and Bateman being out, and, you know, Bateman's, it's not as though he's established. Let's not treat him like he's Mark Andrews. But if you can take away, you know, if Lamar can take away a lesson here, that have some more confidence and faith in some of these other guys when the bullets are flying in real time, not just talking them up during the practice week, then that's great. Assuming that Andrews is back and healthy, and assuming that Bateman's back. And as I mentioned, I'd still like to see them bring in another skill player to augment this offense for the second half of the season. I think that would be very wise of them, especially with Bateman having a foot issue, which is not good for a wide receiver. So, you know, it's still a work in progress, but you can definitely see some encouraging progress being made these last couple weeks. And yeah, it's wild to think what the final numbers were, what the offense looked like in the second half compared to the first half, which I'm with you. And again, because I've kind of taken, I'm not contrarian, but clearly you and I disagree at least a little bit on that factor. Again, it doesn't mean I think they should throw it 30 times and a half. I don't think that
poorly,
at all.
Poorly.
Sure, sure. And again, if I'm going to look at that and say, if you identified that was the way you're going to do it and that's what you went out and did, that's disappointing, because I will keep coming back to, they are going to have to win games with Lamar Jackson's arm at some point in time. And
well, they, you know, better get healthy. To your point, they better get better receivers. They better figure that part out.
Well, why do you think Kansas City went out and got another receiver this past week? And, you know, I know they don't have Tyreek Hill, but, you know, they addressed that position. You know, other teams address that position. Now, the Ravens.
I saw DeSean Jackson out on the field running around with our ball, patting him on the back. I saw that.
Yeah, he's out. He was there. That's right.
Anquan Boldin was in town last week too.
I know, right? So we'll see. Again, I'm very interested, and, you know, I'm expecting, if Eric DaCosta doesn't pull off a trade, I think it's disappointing. I think it is, because I think you look at how other teams are approaching this thing, and I get it. The Ravens are not that team that's going to go nuts from a standpoint of mortgaging the future from a cap standpoint. At the same time, you've got a very much behind Buffalo and Kansas City. And unless you're just
resigned, you've got a season
on
the brink,
them,
which, as we would say, right? They can win the Super Bowl this year. They can't do it with the cast they had on Thursday night. With Andrews and Street Clothes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, they can't win with that group.
Right, right. As much as people are saying in jest that, wow, are they better without Andrews? Of course they're not better without Andrews. If there's a lesson to be taken from this, though, it's, hey, maybe this jumpstarts Isaiah Likely, who everyone was ready to fit for a gold jacket back in the preseason. And look, I was even buying into the hype. The guy we saw Thursday night looked like the Likely we saw in the preseason. So hopefully that means going forward, not that he's going to do that every week, but he can be a more consistent part of your passing game. That helps you. You know, I've said it, not just the wide receiver position. You want to get more out of him. You want to get more out of maybe throwing to your backs. You know, they, one thing they did try to do in the first half, they tried the screen game, and that wasn't very good. You know, it, So, you know, there are different ways to go about this. The Ravens clearly go about this very differently from the conventional really good teams in the NFL, but doesn't mean that they're wrong. But as moving forward, yeah, you're going to need a healthy Mark Andrews. You're going to need a healthy Rashad Bateman. You know, if you don't have that, you better add another piece at the trade deadline. So be interesting to see how that plays out. And for the time being, very good win. Thursday night road win. You're never going to feel anything but happy about that, especially after the way that first half played out.
And a little downtime here. John Harbaugh's had two victories this week, and Brandon Hyde still had a better week than him as a manager of the year. We'll be watching the World Series all weekend down in Houston. It comes back to Philadelphia next week. Be all Philadelphia-Houston. Houston-Philadelphia. Philadelphia-Houston for the next 7 or 8 days, especially for those of us who don't have a Ravens game to watch until the New Orleans Saints next month, as we have at it. I'm going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour at Greenmount Station on Friday after the game, welcoming their sports wagering emporium. Looking forward to having Chris on. Looking forward to double crab. I'm getting two crab cakes up in Carroll County, Hampstead on Friday. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving away some Ravens scratch-off tickets as well as our friends at Goodwill. I'm wearing my Goodwill gear because it's Halloween weekend and I'm getting dressed up and going downtown. And if you need to get dressed up, stop by Goodwill. They'll take great care of you as well. And Window Nation, you buy two, you get two free. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.